And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, Maaseiah, and on his right hand and on his left hand, Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchiah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kalida, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Amen. Hope you have a lot of time tonight. And hopefully you have good standing shoes. We'll just imitate them. You're shaking your head, yes. That's 6 hours. Anyway, I won't do that to you tonight. I think someday we should experience it. I don't know when. Pray about that. But let's just go to the Lord in prayer for the message. Father, thank you for your word. Father, tonight, help us to esteem your word above our necessary food, above gold, fine gold. Help us, God, to understand the place of your word in our hearts, in our church, the place it needs to be held in our society. Father, as a nation, Father, you made a great nation of Israel through the word of God. So, Father, tonight, help us as your children to obey what we learned from this passage, to learn some things, and also to understand and to hear as you want us to hear what the Bible says. So, Father, teach us so many things tonight. There's a lot here, and just give me leadership from the Holy Spirit and liberty and just direction in this message so that we can receive all that we need to tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think the computer's up and running. Let me get this screen up for you. I think it'll be helpful. It's just something's wrong. It's probably doing some background updating or something. Huh. Okay. Thank you. Let's see if I can get this up. It's just running slow. Hopefully it doesn't have COVID. It's got a virus, though. Some kind of virus, maybe. I hate that. All right. This is not good. Okay. I didn't save it by the name it should be, so I thought I lost it. I have the old name. It is Nehemiah 8, 1 through 8. Amen. So we're here tonight and we're learning this, some truths. And we'll get into this introduction here in a moment. But let's think about coming to America, the forefathers. The pilgrim forefathers arrived in America. They brought with them a reverence for the Word of God. Daniel Webster said, "The Bible came with them, and it is not to be doubted that to the free and universal reading of the Bible is to be ascribed in that age that men were indebted for right views of civil liberties. It came through the Word of God." President Woodrow Wilson said, "America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelations of Holy Scripture." Really, we could look back, and as I said in the morning, yes, the Word of God helped make our nation. Amen. Amen. And it certainly made the nation of Israel. Amen. And scriptures, or we, are to be a people of the book. And they were a people of the book, as no other nation has been. That's what we're going to be seeing tonight. And I may not be following all that, particularly according to what we're reading right now. Oh, I didn't give you that. Sorry. Now we're reading it. We see the instruction of the people, chapter 8, confessing of sin, chapter 9, dedicating the walls, chapters 12, 10 through 12, and then the cleansing the fellowship, chapter 13. So it kind of gives you a direction of the rest of the book, kind of an overview of the direction, some of what we'll be touching on. Obviously, each chapter has a lot of detail that we can follow. But here we see, this explains in this chapter why Nehemiah called for a Bible conference. Amen. Let's have a Bible conference. And he invited a great preacher, Ezra, the scribe. Why was he why was he a great preacher? Because it said he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach Israel. That's back in the book of Ezra, chapter 7, verse 10. He came to Jerusalem about 14 years before Nehemiah arrived. And had already sought, we remember the book of Ezra, he sought to bring the people back to the ways of the Lord. So he was a man of God, he was filled with the Word of God, and he was a great preacher for the Bible conference. Amen. And so, if you notice here, we did see where they did it. Did you pick up on that? They were at the water gate. And the water gate is kind of a picture of two things. We know that water in the Bible is a picture of the Word of God. Amen. We're washed by the water of the Word. Ephesians 5, 26. And then drinking water is a picture of the Spirit of God. John 7. Out of your bellies flow rivers of living water. And this is, he spake of the Spirit, Jesus Christ. And so, think about applying the water of the Word to your life, and then the Spirit can work and bring revival. Amen? That's what we're looking at, revival through the Word of God. And it is a refreshing of our souls when we receive the Word of God. Really, this should be, you should experience some kind of revival and refreshing every Sunday. And if you're not, then something's wrong. There's something wrong. We need to really understand that, because the Word of God should be special to us in such a way that it does something in us every time we hear it. Amen? Or oh me, which is it? Amen or oh me? And so we have to understand in this chapter, if God's going to bring spiritual revival, we must respond positively to the Word of God. This is a chapter that really describes our responses. And that's what we're looking at. The first response we find in chapter 8. We must read and understand the Word of God. When you think of verses 1 through 8, there's a central theme here. We need to get in the book. We need to read the book. And we need to understand what is in the Word of God. Why is that? Well, the Bible's not a magic book. You know, and it's okay to have the Bible out. But that Bible right there is going to do nothing for you until you read it. And it's not going to do anything for you if you just read it like some exercise. Yeah, I'm reading the Bible. You have to understand it. Right? That's the first step. And then we'll get into some other steps in the chapter. Let me not get ahead of myself. So we must understand it. So, and before it can enter into our heart, we have to understand it. And before it enters in our heart, or when it enters in our heart, it releases that life-changing power. That's that revival, that refreshing we need from the Word of God. I want you to note six times in this chapter, it speaks of understanding. That's how important it is. Look what it says. Verse 2 and 3, maybe you didn't pick up on this. Let's just jump right to the phrase in the middle of the verse. It says, and all that could hear with understanding. Amen. And in verse 3, and those that could understand, kind of towards the latter part of the verse. And the ears of all the people were attentive under the law, book of the law. Then we can move through this chapter, verses 7 and 8. It talks about the last phrase, cause the people to understand the law. See how important understanding is? And then verse 8, the last phrase, and cause them to understand the reading, and so on and so forth throughout the chapter, six times. How about the parable of the sower? Remember what Jesus said? Hold your place, go to Matthew 13. I will not read the whole parable. But remember how important it is to understand, to hear, and to understand. And what was wrong with the people of Jesus' times? Says verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Isn't that sad? That's the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the religious Jews that came out of chapter 9 or 8 of Ezra. Not, you know, directly, but yeah. Same kind of people. This is what they became in time. Sad. But the Bible says, remember the parable, it goes on. Verse 18, it says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And what is it that brings good ground? We know there's different types of soil, and it has to do with our reception of the Word of God. But look at verse 23 now. But he that received into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So hearing and understanding is what produces fruit. Produces fruit. Jesus, well, I don't want to get to that yet. We'll go back to our text, and then we'll come back to some things that Jesus said later in the Gospels. I probably didn't advance this in front of you. So the people had to be old enough as well. So It does say that. Not everyone was there standing. It says in verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand. So they had to have the ability to be in this meeting. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So this is the context here. Now the word of God must be clearly taught. And this is what Ezra is doing. And if you think about it, he is preaching, teaching the authoritative word of God. Amen. And you can see this here. And this is part of bringing revival. We need to have preaching. It needs to be authoritative. It needs to be clear preaching and teaching of God's word. So what does he do? Let's just outline a few things. Number one, he brought the book. Amen. Bring the book. We're not here to be reading, you know, Reader's Digest. I think some churches had stories out of Reader's Digest, or maybe if you want to be spiritual, the Daily Bread or some other devotional book. No, we're here to bring the book. Amen. Read the book. I'm not saying don't read those things. They could be good illustrations and good devotions. I'm not saying. But in church, we need the book. You see, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe in verse 1. Bring the book of the law. We want to hear the book. Isn't that what you should be saying in your heart? Now, it was a very good time of the year. It tells us a little bit about that in verse 2. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. You know what day that was for them? It would be New Year's Day for us. So it was the beginning of the new year. It was a special time in the Jewish calendar. And they celebrated the Feast of the Trumpets the first day. The Day of Atonement was the 10th day. The Feast of the Tabernacles from the 15th day to the 21st day. This can be found in Leviticus 23, verses 23 to 44. So it was a perfect time. Just like us, you know, we try to make the beginning of the new year, you know, set some goals and be right with God and make some spiritual goals about your Bible reading and about prayer and about attending God's house or maybe, you know, studying something and, you know, have some goals. So this is a perfect time, is it not? It's kind of speaks to us as well. Now think about the scroll that he had to bring, five books of Moses. And this was all the foundation of the Jewish faith and the civil laws. A lot of details. Now, it's probably not likely that he's reading in 6 hours the whole scroll. He's probably picking some very good passages, like the book of Deuteronomy would be good, and then maybe explaining it as he goes and backing it up with other scriptures out of the book of the law. And then we see another thing. He stood on a wooden pulpit. Amen. Verse 4. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they made for the purpose. So here he is. He's standing on a pulpit of wood. He's standing above the people so that they could see him and hear him better. He faced the public square where the people were standing, the wall and the gate behind him. And I'm sure it was like a sounding board, you know, the wall behind him, the gate, a sounding board for the preaching and reading of God's word. And verse 4 says that 13 men stood with him. Perhaps these men were representing their tribes. And then there were other men named, if you remember verse 7, along with the Levites. the Levites in verse 7. Perhaps they were teaching priests. So we have these men, like this team, that are going to go around. And I get the picture, like, you know, he's teaching, he's reading. Then there's a little time and they're going around. They're saying, okay, here, let me explain this to you. And people have their hands up. Yeah, I need to understand this. And everyone's going around teaching the word of God and getting people understanding. So he stood on that platform. He opened the book, verses 5 and 6. He opened the book. You know, it's good to have the, sometimes I like holding the Bible, you know, when I'm preaching and making sure everyone understands what we're doing here is from God's word. Amen. Open the book, verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. There are churches that have that custom, which is good. You know, I know we stand a lot. But they stood up. And as he was getting to read the word of God. And so they understood this, brethren, and you ought to understand this by now. They understood that they were hearing the word of God. They weren't just hearing a man. And when you come to hear preaching, you're not just hearing me. You're hearing God. And you have to understand that. It's the word of God. And that's what Paul says to the Thessalonians. And the Thessalonians were able to do that. They were able to make that distinction. Yeah, it was Paul delivering, but they received it as the word of God and not the word of man. And so that's how you are to receive God's word. Not as, you know, what I'm preaching or Brother Reynolds or Brother Caleb or anyone else that comes here. You're to receive it as the word of God. That's what it is. Amen. Amen. And so they stood. And verse 7, it tells us at the last part, I don't have to read those names again, amen. But it says, they caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So here they are standing in their place. And they're causing the people to understand. See, these men, 7, they're going around helping people. Like having, okay, do you understand that word? What's this verse saying? And, you know, everyone's kind of a little bit of time. It wasn't like some disorder, but they had an orderly fashion of reading and teaching the word of God. Amen. And we understand, and I'll get to this, but let's bring it up right now. They were standing from midday, from morning unto midday, about 6 hours. 6 hours. And this continued for a week. So it wasn't just a one-time thing. They did it every day for a week. Two little old ladies were walking out of church one Sunday. And one of them said, "My, that preacher certainly preaches for a long time." Her friend replied, "No, he really doesn't preach a long time. It just seems like a long time." I wonder what they would think about a service like this. 6 hours of preaching, amen? The people stood for the whole time. And they came back for more. Amen. You know, sometimes we are in too much of a hurry, aren't we? To get out of church, to have the meeting end. In some parts of the world, like Eastern Europe, before the collapse of the communist bloc, believers would stand for hours in packed churches to hear the Bible being read and taught. I think in the Western evangelical church, the shorter the sermon, the better we like it. I'm not too sure that speaks well of us or not. So what did he do? He opened the book. He stood on a wooden pulpit. He brought the book. And then he blessed the God of the book. Amen. Look at verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Brethren, there's nothing wrong with praising God when you're getting ready to preach. Amen. Take some time to praise God in the service. I thought about doing that tonight, and I thought, you know what? If I keep adding things to the service, we'll be here all night. Because we're going to have fellowship after. So I said, no, I'll save it for another Sunday, but that would be good to do. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen and amen, with the lifting up of their hands. And they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So yes, it did cause some worship of God. Amen. Amen. They were united too. Remember what verse 1 says, they came as one man. They were united. So they honored the scriptures, they honored God, and they were willing to devote time to hear the word of God read and taught and to worship the God of the Bible. Amen. They didn't worship the book. They worshiped the God of the book. Amen. And then he read and explained the book. Now remember this. The common people did not own any copies of the scriptures. So they were thrilled to hear the word of God. You see, until the invention of the printing press in the 15th century, the Bible had to be copied by hand. And often there would be only one copy in a city, often chained to the pulpit, so no one would steal it. And many of the people were often illiterate. The Bible had to be read publicly for the common people to know what it says. And that's kind of the idea, brethren. Hey, they had to come and hear the word of God, and so it was so important for them to do that, and they were so interested in doing that. And the verse 8 says that they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand. This is the picture of what I'm telling you. They were explaining the word of God in a way that the people could understand. And really, maybe making applications and saying, you know, this is what it means, and this is how we ought to obey it and put it in our lives. Making some applications. We know that the Levites assisted Ezra. That's what we're talking about in verse 7. And certainly we need a team of people who know how to teach God's word and able to do that. Because this ministry of preaching in the pulpit ministry should just keep growing and growing and going out and filtering out into the community, out into families, and changing lives. That's what God wants. So they mingled with the people. And when there was a break in the reading, they answered questions, told them how to apply the word of God. And really, there should be a balance between public proclamation and personal application. Both are important, and we need to think about that often. Amen. Try to make it where you can understand it and say, you know what? This is how it fits in my life, and this is what I'm going to do with it. I think that's my job, and I need to be better at that all the time. But let us not look over one other important thing today. The people reverently and attentively listen to God's word. You see, having ears. I think about this. I wish all of our teenagers were here today, back. Having ears that work does not mean or guarantee that we really hear. God made us with two ears. And you know what? Well, some of you, in modern inventions, you can close them, but for the most part, you can't close them. Thank God he made you with a mouth you can close. Amen. But your ears are always open. But the sad thing is, we often close our minds off, right? So that we do not hear what is really being said. Even though we hear sounds of words, we don't hear. We're not listening. Now, anyone who is married has had this experience. And all the women, all the wives said, amen. The wife is talking to you, but you're reading something else, looking at your phone. You know, I have these old illustrations here, you know, about reading the newspaper or reading the mail, you know, or something. Or you probably are reading your email and reading your Facebook page and reading your blogs. And she's talking to you and you're not even hearing anything. What'd you say? Yes, I sinned. Amen. But in that same way, hey, hold on. In that very same way, you can come to God's house and do the same thing. Don't you think that's why Jesus is telling us very clearly some things? Look at Mark 4, 9, and then Luke 8, 18. I have them down there correctly. What did Jesus say? And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, he didn't say that just once in the Bible. How about Luke 8:18? And this is sobering. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Take heed how you hear. If God's word, if the Bible, contains the holy words of God, the very words of God himself, then it behooves us to pay attention very carefully, attentively, and listen reverently to what God is saying. Amen? That's what this text, if you go to verse 3, what does it tell us about the people here? And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. The ears of the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Verses 5 and 6. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Brethren, that's showing reverence. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with the lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Do you see the reverence? Do you see the attentiveness? They stood up as if to greet a royal visitor. And they bowed down to worship him. They were worshiping God, not Ezra, not even the scroll, but God himself. Because they knew God was speaking. And really, brethren, attentiveness stems from reverence. If you reverence God and you believe this is the authoritative, divinely inspired word of God, then you're going to be attentive. Amen? If you forget that, your mind's going to wander to other things. And I realize that preachers can sometimes be boring. But if I lose your attention, then direct your mind and read the text. Amen. Read the Bible. Read the chapter that we're in. And ask the Lord to open it up to your heart. That's what you should do. Amen. Brethren, I think there's some applications here that our churches today have a desperate need in our public services to show more respect for the Word of God. In fact, Paul said to Timothy, we need to give attention to reading. Give attention, he said. 1 Timothy 4:13. I'm just wondering, and I've done this before, but you know, I realize we have traditions and we've always done it this way, but I'm just wondering if we shouldn't be reading through the Bible in the church publicly. If that wouldn't be pleasing to God, apart from the text that we're reading for the message. Maybe there should be some systematic public reading of God's Word. And maybe that's a little bit about what God's getting at here to us. I just want to know, you know, think about this a little bit. And sometimes we get away from this. But how does the Holy Spirit feel when He sees our Bibles put on the floor? Are used as a portable filing cabinet for miscellaneous papers. Or even left behind at church where they're stacked up and finally given away because no one comes back to claim them. You see, we will defend the Bible as the Word of God, but we don't always treat it as the Word of God. We should love this book. And reverence it. And really be attentive. And you know why? Because revival comes when we do these things. Let's stand. Let's stand tonight in prayer.